Due to a technical problem, only a portion of the sermon is available this week.
Not simply a message of announcement, it is a message of conversion that Jesus calls all people to. Now, I want you to be sure and note, when Will read it a minute ago, there was a space there. We're going to change slides here. I want you to count the verse numbers for me just real quickly. 14, 15, and when we change the slide, here we go, 16. When Jesus passes along the way, let's read it. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. We maybe separate this. We kind of take that statement and separate it from verse 14 and 15. That's the proclamation of the gospel. This is the call of disciples. But in reality, for the gospel writers, particularly by the time they got ready the gospel, they wanted to connect the idea of Jesus proclaiming the coming of the kingdom, Jesus proclaiming turning from old ways and trusting in Him, the new way of God, connected that directly to the statement, "Come, follow me." When Andrew and Peter and James and John dropped their nets to follow Jesus, they weren't just changing vocations. They weren't just deciding to follow a teacher. They were being, and we use that word, converted. They were changing from a dependence on old things, and saying that they wanted to trust in this new teacher. Now, I realize, and you're making a good argument, I can see it in your faces, wait a minute, that's not what they thought when they were standing by the sea there. You're right. But a few decades later, when they got ready to write it, that's exactly the meaning that they wanted to convey. They were moving from one life to a new life, from old things to new things, from self to Jesus. Maybe from the law to Jesus. They saw something better in Jesus. They were being converted. And the response to conversion, the response of, and again, use that phrase for me, being saved, becoming a Christian, being a believer, whatever it may be, however you want to use that language, the response of the believer is not to sit. And let me use a kind of a contradictory statement. We use the word wallow. You know what the wallow word means. To not sit and wallow in savedness. You get the picture? Wallowing, sitting in, letting just kind of baste in the savedness. That's not what this picture is it? Come, follow me. Take this step into new things. And as you take this step, you need to become a people who look for opportunities to bring others to find the same thing that you have found, to bring others to experience the same thing that you have experienced, to bring others to come into relationship with God that you've experienced. You see, conversion is much less about the status that we enter into. We like the status, don't we? We come and we assemble and we... Wes gave us such a great picture. We don't deserve to be at this table. But Jesus calls us to it. And we become as the people of God, the people who trust in Jesus. And we say, I want to be at that table. We want to celebrate what God has done. We want to celebrate our new status as the redeemed, as the forgiven, as the, use the word, saved. As those who have stepped into the family and the kingdom of God, we love to celebrate that status. But maybe, just maybe, for Jesus and for his early disciples, conversion wasn't simply about celebrating status. It was about being commissioned. It was about accepting a new role in life, not just a new state of being. Is that the idea was there was somewhere to go and something to do. Jesus didn't come and offer his life simply so that you could enter into the status of being saved. Jesus came and offered his life so that, yes, in the process of entering into redemption and forgiveness and new life that he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, but to step into a new role of being light, salt, fishers of men, and I'm going to use that word that we all hate so much, to become evangelists, proclaimers, livers, doers of Jesus' good news and gospel. So the purpose of Jesus' calling is very clear, isn't it? Jesus calls them to turn and to follow him, to trust in him. And first of all, it does. Say amen to this. It frees us from sin and the punishment of death. Somebody say amen. That's a hallelujah, isn't it? It is to bring us into relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. And we say hallelujah and amen. And it is to transform us from those living, transform us into those living in his light and in his love. Wow! Look what God has done. Jesus calls and we follow and all of this powerful stuff comes into our lives. But see, it doesn't stop there, does it? And I would say, sorry about this, that the conversion is incomplete if it only stops with those things. When we come to Jesus, when we follow him and trust him, we're going to talk more later about, and when we put him on in baptism, what the baptism has done is not complete just at this list. I think Jesus would say that. So what else is there? The purpose of Jesus' calling is so that we might enter into that new relationship and share it. To make us become. When you read that English kind of weird phrasing, you've got to realize that something's going on in the original language that probably can't just be communicated easily. It is that we are already moved into the status, not just of the saved, but of the saving. And it is an ongoing process that as His Spirit moves and lives in us, we will more and more become those who aren't just saved, but are saving. Not that we have the power to save someone, but that we have the good news of that salvation. We got to start lifting our eyes from simply enjoying where we sit and start looking within our own families. And maybe that's not the place where the proclamation, repent or burn, is most appropriate. But I can promise you that there's a good news message and a good news action and a good news life that needs to be lived within our families. Let's take one step and go out into the community. We got a great town, don't we? Don't we love this little town that we live in? This whole little community, not this town Lake Jackson, but this whole community of Brazosport. And it's a fun place to be. I can promise you that there are people that drive up and down this street, that drive in front of your house, that live on either side of you, who need to know the good news of Jesus. And you might say that's somebody else's job. I want to proclaim to you that Jesus says, sorry about this, Jesus says, it is my job. Not because I'm paid to be your preacher and your minister. It is my job because I'm just like you. I'm one of those who've decided to turn and follow, to step into his salvation. It is our call to be in our communities and to speak his good news. Of course, it doesn't ever end there, does it? It goes around the world. And when I say around the world, I want to say a special emphasis. The way we live and the way we talk and the way we act changes culture. Or at least that's the way the Bible says the Holy Spirit acts. As it changes our lives, it changes the world around us. Maybe we need to think a little bit more about the way the Spirit is trying to transform us if we're concerned about the lack of transformation that we see in the community around us. But again, it doesn't end there. What a great storm. You would think I was building up for a big point, wouldn't you? The last thing Jesus says that Matthew records is, go everywhere you go. Go into the whole world. Don't let any border stop you. Don't let any obstacle stop you. And I don't know how far all of the people that heard that went. Some of them never left Judea. Some of them never returned home to Galilee. So we're talking about less than 5 or 10 miles that they went. But some of them went across the Mediterranean Sea. Some of them walked down into Egypt and Africa. Some of them, we believe, walked towards what is now modern-day India. They didn't let anything stop them. And we're going to be a church that wants to go into the whole world. Amen? We're going to want to find. We have missionaries that we currently support because we want that word to go into the whole world. And church, it is my hope that as we move forward as a congregation and we find growth and giving, that we expand that going into the whole world. And that we get better at inviting all of you to go with us into the whole world. But in reality, the whole world starts when you and I decide to walk across a room, to walk across the street, to open our eyes to the people that God has put before us and says, look, here, I saved you. I freed you from your sin and death. Not for you, but for this one. And the one that he's going to call. And the one that she's going to call. And the one that they're going to call. That's why I saved you. So as a partner in the Getting Out of the Salt Shaker series, we're going to be looking at the how Jesus trained disciples. In reality, everybody that he came in contact, he trained to be that phrase, fishers of men, makers of disciples. I want to invite you to be in that journey. But I need to tell you that for me, that journey has to start with confession. I don't identify myself as someone, and if you do spiritual gift assessments, one of the spiritual gifts is evangelism, and I've taken several of them, and that has never come up as a gift of mine. There have been a few times that I've the door is open, and I've stepped in, and I've thought, wow, look, God, this that you want, I'm doing, and it's producing fruit. And then there's times that are very, very dry. And I tell similar stories, and people walk the other direction. And then more than that, there's just the fact that I don't always tell the story. I just don't always be salty and be bright and be a fisher. Maybe you sit in that same place. So I'm going to pray for me. And when I get to the end of that prayer, I want you to pray for you. And then following that prayer, we're going to stand and we're going to sing the invitation. An invitation to come, repent, turn, and follow Jesus into his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the waters of baptism. But you know what? I know most of you. You've already been there. And we just need to decide that what Jesus did in our baptism is less about the status we live in and more about the calling that he has to tell someone else, to share with someone else, to proclaim the gospel to someone else. Why don't you join me in prayer? Our Father and our God, I come before you as one of those broken ones that Wes referred to earlier. One of those ones who've received your gospel, received your grace, received your mercy, and yet my life doesn't fully engage in it. I repent that it isn't just about missed opportunities or poor wording. It's sometimes, Father, that I just don't pursue. I don't throw the hook out there. I don't take the effort to step across the room or across the street. I'm so worried about getting the words right. And in truth, Father, you know that I'm so worried that people will like me, that I don't always do the most important things in those relationships and those opportunities. Father, I would ask that you would renew that calling to turn and follow. I would ask that you would on a daily basis renew my sense of all that you've done for me. And Father, I would pray that you would fill me with your Spirit in such a way that my life becomes an instrument of your good news into the world. That I would wear the label of evangelist, not with fear, but with hope and purpose. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. May my gospeling be a greater reflection of what you have done. Hear our prayers. Father, we look forward to the way you're going to answer all our prayers. We pray this in the name of the one who saves us and the one who sent us, Jesus. And we all say, amen. So won't you come as we stand and sing?
He is able, boy.